Good morning.
Good morning
and Happy New Year. And what a year 2016 has been. Just think about it, on the world stage, what's happened in our world. Some of it makes you laugh, but that's very rare. Most of it, what we've seen on the news, makes you cry. It shakes you up a bit. And it's a bit frightening, really, in many ways. And then, what a year 2016 has been for our church. I don't know if the two events are linked, but soon after we were accepted into membership, it was announced that Tim Welch, the senior pastor, was leaving. And it was a bit of a shock. And now in 2017, we're looking forward to where God will lead us and which man he will lead us to. And what about your own life? And your own family. How has 2016 been for you? Now, I'm not one to make New Year's resolutions. I think I've become rather afraid of them because as soon as I make them, I seem to break them. And it's very difficult. We just can't change ourselves. There's only one person who can change us, and that's God. That's why this morning I want us to look at this one verse in Psalm 27, which I think is just so encouraging and should be our priority prayer in 2017. It's verse 4. One thing I ask the Lord, I ask from the Lord, is this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. There it is. I think our view of God determines our whole life. We cannot escape from that. If we have a beautiful God, our lives will be beautiful. If we have a distorted view of God, our lives also will be distorted. I would say ugly, but that sounds kind of wrong. And so this is the importance of seeing the beauty of the Lord, of getting a glimpse of what God is really like. Now, one thing sticks in my mind, a way of illustrating this. One is Psalm 115, where the psalmist talks about those who make idols. And he says, those who make them become like them. And that is the rather frightening truth that The image of God that we hold is what we tend to become like. If we have a beautiful image of God, we become beautiful lives. It reminds me also of a scene, for those of you who are Star Wars fans, from when Kylo Ren in The Force Awakens looks at a charred helmet, a charred and twisted helmet of Darth Vader. And he almost prays to it, "Grandfather, help me to be like you." Horrific. C.S. Lewis said, and I think this is quite a good quote, "There are three images in my mind which I must continually forsake and replace by better ones. The false image of God, the false image of my neighbours, and the false image of myself." Well, we haven't got time this morning for the second and third, but let's briefly look at the first one. I think there are two, there's many common false misconceptions we hold, even as Christians, about God. It doesn't matter if we've signed up to a very orthodox statement of faith. It doesn't stop us having wrong conceptions about what he's like. And so I'll just mention two of them, which are kind of connected to this Psalm 27. One of them is the angry God, or as someone put it, God is mad at me. He's the difficult to please God. David wrestled with this fear himself in Psalm 27, that God was angry with him. So he says in verse 9, "Do not turn your servant away in anger," he cries out. Now perhaps he was remembering some sin of his past, and it really haunted him. And he wanted to be rid of it. And so he pleads with God, don't be angry with me. But we can't live our Christian lives like that, always looking over our shoulder, believing that God is angry with us, that he's really hard to please. Job, in his worst moment, said this, if I sinned, you would be watching me and would not let my offense go unpunished. Of course, he was in a terrible situation and he had some pretty dark thoughts that he had to deal with at that time. But God is not like that. He's not like that at all. Then there's the distant God. He's not an angry God. He's not a distant God. You may be familiar with Julie Gold's popular song, God is Watching Us from a Distance. It leaves the question unanswered, really. Yes, God is watching us from a distance, but does he care? Does he want to be involved in our lives? David, of course, he knew the answer. In Psalm 8, he says, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? And the answer is obvious. He does care. He does care for us. Even here in this psalm, he has a very personal view of God. You know, sometimes when we talk about prayer, we use the telephone analogy. You know, I just like talking to God on the phone, we explain to her, or on a mobile perhaps, or on Skype. Well, but here, David doesn't use such a distant analogy. He seeks God's face. God says to him, seek my face. And David says, your face, Lord, will I seek. Now, there's a lot of difference, isn't there, between a telephone or mobile conversation where you can't see the face and talking to a person face to face when you can see the expressions on their face. Right? That's the sort of relationship we have with God. He is not a distant God. But it can take us some time to wake up to that. So if we have a distorted God, it will distort our lives. And of course, this in 2016, we sadly saw many people with distorted views of God doing very horrible things in our world. It really made a difference. But David is saying here, in his priority prayer, if we have a beautiful God, we will have a beautiful life. So he prays here that we can stay in God's presence. That's what it means when he talks about the house of the Lord, the house of God, God's presence. And he would be able to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. And that is transforming. There's even signs here in this psalm that David's prayer was beginning to be answered, because he's getting a new view of what God is like. Actually, even though David in this psalm is in a terrible situation, he's surrounded by his enemies, and his enemies he describes as a pack of hunting animals who are trying to destroy him, devour him, like a pack of wolves. But that isn't what is his greatest fear. His greatest fear, perhaps, is in verse 9 as well. It says, do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Saviour. He's more afraid that God might abandon him than what his enemies might do with him, to him. And then God gives him a glimpse of what he's like. And he realises that actually his God is more reliable even than his parents. So he says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Even more reliable than his parents. The glimpse of God, God's beauty, just drove all fear out of his life. So the first verse, the Lord is my light and salvation, whom shall I fear? It really is echoed in the New Testament. Perfect love drives out or fear. This is already starting to have an effect on his life. Beautiful God, beautiful life. But of course, we live in a different time. David, in his time, he only saw Jesus from a distance. He knew the Messiah was coming, it had been promised, but he hadn't seen Jesus. And the real place where we see the beauty of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. And this is what I believe is our priority need and priority prayer for 2017. It's not only me, it's not only David who feels this is important. Paul, the apostle, felt it was important. When he prays for the Christians in the letter to the Ephesians, what is the first part of his prayer? That God would give those believers the spirit of revelation so that they would know him better. He said that he was saying the same thing. But we have something much better than what David had. We can see close up the one that he looked toward from a distance, the coming of the Messiah. You know, meeting Jesus and getting to know him is really a transforming experience. When I met Jesus as a teenager, it really just transformed my whole life. I never realized where it would take me. I was at that time a bit of a shy teenager. I didn't like foreign places. On my first journey abroad, I went to Germany, and I was glad to get back home. I wanted to be a scientist. Physics was my great love. But when I met Jesus, everything changed in a way that I could never have imagined beforehand. This young man who wasn't very fond of foreign places married a foreigner and ended up in the Philippines, which is a country full of extroverts. God must have had a sense of humor. And what is more, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Incredible what meeting Jesus can do for us. And it's not just once. When we see him when we see him throughout our life, we are changed. Now, one biblical illustration that really sticks out in my mind is a Samaritan woman. Now, she's not the sort of person that you would normally find in a middle-class evangelical church, right? She had five husbands, and Jesus said, the man you're now living with is not your husband. You're more likely to find that in other areas. But meeting Jesus changed her life. There must have been something very magnetic about Jesus' personality. The woman was suspicious of him when she first met him. But Jesus talks to her, goes on talking to her, and slowly the woman's attitude changes. She realizes this man is special. She feels that magnetic pull. And then, even when Jesus tells her her whole life story, which is not very good, what does she go and do? She goes back into the village and says, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." And she still liked him. It is transforming just to get a glimpse of the beauty of the Lord. Another place in the Bible, it isn't called the beauty of the Lord, it's called the glory of the Lord. It's a very similar thing. Now, I would like to challenge myself and each one of us here to make that our priority prayer. That we will get that transforming glimpse of the beauty of the Lord. It will change our attitude to God. It will change our attitude to our neighbours. It will change even the way we look at ourselves. For none of us really has got it completely right. We still need to see more of what he's like. But there's just a couple of things I would like to add here. David wasn't messing around in this prayer of his. You notice the way he puts it. Let's get it right. One thing, he calls it, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek. You see, he really meant it. It's like a bit on the X Factor, not that I'm a great fan of the X Factor, but you know what the judges tell the contestants? You've really got to want this. You've really got to want it. And if that is true for the contestants in the X Factor who are competing for a prize, there is nothing in comparison to what we're heading for. It certainly ought to be true of us. And secondly, not only do we have to really mean it and really want it, but we've got to realize this is not another resolution about trying harder. If we think it's just about trying harder, we won't get there, because how can you see the beauty of the Lord? Can you just order God? Can you just pull back the curtain and look at him? I don't think so. This is something that God has to do. Only God can show us that by his Spirit. It needs the Holy Spirit to do it in our lives. It's a gift. And it's something that only the Spirit of God can do. Of course, we've got to cooperate, but it's a work of the Holy Spirit. And I suppose this verse in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, which is the New Testament equivalent, sums it all up. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes, are you listening? This comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can give us that glimpse of the beauty of the Lord that will transform our lives. This is the one thing we should ask for God, from God this year, and everything else will flow from it.